My name is Miles Abernathy, and I am here with Bob Russell, United States Navy, United States Chief, retired on March 14, 2018. Sir, it's an honor to interview you today.
Okay.
Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York on June 4, 1948.
And can you tell me what life was like where you grew up, and do you have a favorite memory of that time?
I remember a little bit of Brooklyn. I lived near the... I can't think of the bridge right now. But we moved upstate. I grew up upstate New York in the country. Country life. And then in 65, things were just... well, they were what they were. It was wild times, it was hard times, and there was little to do in the little town, and I decided I wanted to get away, and I joined the Navy.
And the fact that, like, really nothing was going on, that's what motivated you to join?
I really didn't know that much about outside the world, all right? I really didn't. And I just wanted to get away.
Oh, yeah.
To learn things.
Definitely. Can you tell me about, like, basic training and what were you unprepared for and why?
Well, I had no preparation. Right? It was all unknown, believe it or not. I went to boot camp at the Great Lakes. I wound up going to San Diego. My first ship, and just undesignated, but I was nosy, and I wanted to learn how some people communicate, what they call semaphore. And wow, that's neat. So I learned to do that, and they sent me to a Sigma A school. And then I was transferred, graduated from A school, and caught a ship overseas, coming to Tokyo and then to the Philippines, and caught my ship and was in a war zone before I was 18.
And so as a signalman, what ships were you on?
I was on the Tulare, USS Tulare, which was an LKA, which is a TAC cargo ship, with Mike boats and stuff. Then I was on DDG-4, which was the Lawrence. Then I was on the USS Detroit, AOE-4, which was probably the best duty I had. And I ended my career on USS Sylvania, AFS-2.
And so what were your duties as a signalman in the Navy?
Visual communications, identifying warships, identifying merchant ships, categorizing them how they were made, whether they were cargo tankers or cargo ships or tankers. Then, of course, reading Morse code, our flags. We had to know naval procedures and merchant fleet procedures. Mm-hmm. They're all different procedures.
So, I think when most people hear Vietnam, they think more the land war, and then there was, like, you know, obviously, like, airstrikes from, like, carriers, but were you really having to, like, you know, coordinate like movements of ships, like, along the Vietnamese coast?
No, we were in a ready, amphibious ready group.
Ah.
There were three of us, made up of LKA, LSD, and an LPD, which I know they're foreign names today because an LHA or an LHD combines all those ships to one.
Yeah.
But we were a three-ship group that would go up and down the coast and make landings to either catch the RVN themselves or the Viet Cong. So, yeah, we fought both.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think the most difficult part of the military was, and how did you overcome those challenges?
It's a difficult part. To give yourself the confidence that you can do any job. You may not have all the answers all the time, but you got to see your job through. And stand up. We all make mistakes. We all fall down. And a leader or a person has to understand that and know that. Yeah, that is. The people that are out are human beings, not machines. It's to get that confidence. And everybody can do it.
Everybody.
It doesn't matter whether it's the captain, admiral, or the E1. But everybody's got to be treated with respect. And respect goes both ways.
And you think that was like, I don't know, from what I've read about Vietnam, that was like a really big problem that, you know, because this was like kind of like the first war where like there was a lot more integration.
I'm going to tell you what I think.
Yeah.
It was money. It was greed.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Like the origin, the reason.
It was greed. I'll tell you what shakes you to the core. I had a 1967 Ford pickup come out of the woods, come out of the jungle, onto a river road, and they had a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on it, and it was sold on the black market, in a construction company. What was hurt was that it was greed. A lot of people made a lot of money off the military people.
That's sad. So you already explained you served in a war zone. And do you have any especially memorable stories of?
Yeah, absolutely. You probably, I don't know. Maybe right in here, Gaddafi,
yes.
Libya. Well, he decided that his country went to Malta, to the shore of Malta. That was his country.
Oh yes, I read about this. This is always fun.
So the Navy in there, in this way, we got to give him something juicy to go after. They pick a big old AOE. It's when the two Tomcats shot down his two MiGs.
Oh yeah.
We were the targets.
Oh wow. So you're just the bait, and then oh my
absolutely.
Gosh. Wow.
We're steaming around on one boiler, doing 5 knots with enough steerway to keep steering, put a blanket on one boiler, and two boilers were cold. Well, we went from 5 knots to doing 31 knots.
Oh my gosh.
In 20 minutes, heading for the Saratoga. We were like, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy.
Did you actually see the MiGs at all? Or
oh, yeah, we saw them.
Oh, and you saw them get, like, shot down?
No, we didn't see them get shot down. We saw them like, far away. They weren't
oh,
far.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I did see Tomcats. I don't know if you ever heard of it. The Russian bear ship plane. The long bomber that can go from Russia to America and back. Seen Tomcats bring one down on the water.
Oh, wow.
It was beautiful.
That's crazy.
Right down on the water. Yeah. I went through a Russian task force. They used to stop at night to conserve fuel. We steamed right through the middle of it. They got upset about it. I taught myself Russian code. They knew American code,
yeah.
Which is the international code, which the telegraph people would use. And we would contact 6th Fleet commander over there. But it was just, yes. Was on a detail of rescuing a submarine.
Oh, wow.
And the carrier Nimitz, South Carolina, and California kept the Russians away because they wanted to know more about them. One of our submarines was in trouble. And what they did, they snuck the ship. And they used a red flare at sea. He's that sub right behind it. He's in trouble. He's coming up. And that was things I had to watch for. That's what my signal was. If they weren't sending messages, they were lookout. we always kept a lookout for that kind of stuff.
That's interesting how, like, even with our modern technology today, the signalman, I would say, is still, like, incredibly important, because if
they
everything
don't
else...
Move them
if, if then really?
Here, that used no more.
The rank is, like, the...
Stop.
Wow. Because what if everything fails? If everything fails...
Yeah, you just said something.
That the Navy does not...
Back in the... I retired from the Navy in 1989.
Yeah.
And I had... an E-8, and that's how I'm going to put it, which is a signature.
Yeah.
OS, which is like a radar name.
Yeah.
He said, you're outdated. I'm going to put it this way. As much electronics can go dead, I can still communicate with my arms or a flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
I can send Morse code with a flashlight.
What the heck?
But I'm outdated. I was not needed.
What the heck?
Electronics is only as good as it...
As much as they work, yeah.
Yeah, but you can go hot and dark.
And then they're going to start begging, where's the signal man?
Can you communicate?
Oh.
They don't do it. They don't use them.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a long career. I have ups and downs, but you do in any career. Yes, you do. You have ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But you gotta pick people up. You got to put them together. You hit a low, sure do. You go through a yard overhaul, that's not for sailors. Sailors are, you know, grumble about anything, but they enjoy their job. Going in the shipyard is not your job. You know?
Yeah.
But you got to get people built up. Coming home, you got to remind them that it's a whole different life again.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, you're with people, but you're not with people.
Mm.
You know? It's family, but it's not a family.
Yeah.
And when you come back from a deployment, you got to reintroduce yourself into what's going on. To drive a car again. To be with your family again. Because you have your own lifestyle because of being underway.
Mm.
And you've got to change that over.
Yeah.
You got to remember that young people have different needs than older people.
Yeah.
You know? You have to remind yourself that as you go higher in the service, you got to remember that you were young once.
Yeah.
You know? It's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did I enjoy it? Yes, I did. Is that it? But I enjoyed being a signalman. I did the responsibility I had. Before they started using helicopters, destroyers were plane bombers.
Mm.
So we were directly astern of the carrier at 1,000 yards. And at night, they used infrared because the red filters blinded the pilot coming in.
Mm.
So we had to go to infrared. And they did not use radios. All signaling was done by infrared to tell when they were going to change course or when they were going to increase speed or decrease speed. So I had to look through a viewer and tell the captain what we were doing.
Mm.
But I had everybody on that ship in my hand.
Mm.
At 23 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I didn't think nothing of it. I never thought about it.
Mm.
It was my job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one time backing out of the piers at Norfolk.
Yeah.
A merchant ship was out of the channel. He was too close to the piers. And we were backing out. And because I'm on the highest level,
mm-hmm.
where the stern, the people on the fantail, can't see because it was another ship.
Yeah.
And we're backing out, and I had to yell to the captain, come to all stop, we got a merchant ship.
Yeah.
Nobody could see it. And I said, we got a ship. And we're back at, come to all stop.
Mm.
He had to believe me.
Yeah.
And if we didn't start then, we're about maybe 30 seconds later, the stern's, hey, we got a ship. Oh, we were already.
And it would have been too late.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Can you describe your transition from military life, from military to civilian life, and what were some of those challenges?
People, when you come out, military people are more responsible. We can do things by ourselves. And that's a big business don't understand that.
Mm.
We don't need to be shadowed all the time.
Yeah.
Tell me what you want done. If I have a problem, I'll call you.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that. That's in all the services that come out.
Oh, yeah.
You got done already? What's so hard about that?
Yeah.
Okay. The responsibility side.
Mm-hmm.
In the military, you have a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't talk about it with life. I have, in the military, as you go, you teach your people to do their job to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a combat situation, you're going to lose people.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to accept that. You don't want to lose, but you can only, you can do so much. You have to accept what happens. You can't go. There's no answer. It happens. You gotta let. If you don't, you're gonna wind up suffering yourself.
Oh yeah.
There's things today. I can't do fireworks. I can't do fireworks. Nope. Can't do it. But the transition is, people don't. Well, you're done. They don't believe that you can do that. You do so good on your own.
Oh yeah.
All right. We learn to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. That's the biggest thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I worked construction for a while. 1991. We had a recession.
Yeah.
I had a family, wife, two kids, a dog and two cats. I had to do something. So my brother was a truck driver. I asked, okay, what do you do? And he told me over the phone. I went for a job. Use a checklist. Same thing in the military. You have a checklist you go through.
Oh, yeah.
And if you vary from it, Murphy's Law applies. You're going to get you. So you establish this checkoff list.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be all right. It's when you change from that list. Murphy Law gets you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That was the hardest thing for people to accept. You know, don't tell me one, give me one. No, I don't. Mm. No. I don't work that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And if I have a problem, that's what you get there.
Mm.
I don't want your job. You know, you want that job. I don't want that job.
I'm almost certain of the answer, but if given the opportunity, would you serve in the military again?
Oh, absolutely.
And why?
I like the responsibility.
Mm.
I like the challenges. And I think one of the things with our service today is relying too much on electronics.
Mm.
You play too many games. There's a time and place for it. You need your rest. You need your training.
Mm. Definitely.
You know, it's repertory, a lot of it. Yep. But your eyes will never lie. The lights on the ship will never lie to you.
Mm.
The navigational light.
Yeah.
They'll never lie to you.
Mm. Is there anything in particular you would like to say to the next generation of service members?
To be... Do the best that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself and don't let other people mold you. You mold yourself. Because you know right from wrong.
Mm. That's good.
You know? Yeah. I'm just a plain, ordinary person.
Mm.
I have morals. I like good time. It's time for it. It's time to work. It's time to rest. You have to treat people with respect. You have to tell them this is your responsibility. And they have to... We all make mistakes, and you've got to suffer with the consequences. I used to say, guys, you know, they had extra work. They had other responsibilities. Oh, yeah, okay. You have a flat tire. You're late. All right. The battery went, oh, okay. Yep, yeah, the baby was sick. I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes that you have a job to do, and I let people go on Friday, no, you're not going to go because you've got to finish your work. So they have to accept responsibility.
That's something I think is lacking, especially, I mean, I can recognize that, like, my own kind of generation.
You know?
And we got these good kids here, so.
It takes everybody to work together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a couple of people that they thought they were so good.
Mm-hmm.
I will... How can I put this when I hurt somebody? I will teach the person who's really slow, I will take the time to turn that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because he will be the best over somebody who says, oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that person will be the first to make a mistake.
Mm.
I don't mean to be offensive on that. It's just... If somebody says, oh, I know it, I got it all, you stay away from that person.
Mm.
Because they don't. Because
mm.
they want to be first in line. You just take a mental survey of that.
Mm.
It's your thing. Because the one that takes the longest to learn takes it in deeper and has more knowledge.
Mm. That's very good.
It's like I had two young guys. Nobody taught them. All they used them was to keep the bridge clean.
Mm.
Well, it took me 6 months for that night underway. Took the flashlight. We did the code. During the day, they had to talk to me in cemetery. They turned out to be two of my best receivers. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, you were talking before about the time. The Navy at the time was switching over to what they call USNS ship.
Mm-hmm.
It was a military ship with a civilian crew with a military detachment, radium and OS signal. Okay? And we were taking on fuel from one of the USNS ships. The Detroit, we could refuel a ship in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We had 150 PSI at the nozzle. That's how big the nut, the motors that we had, the pumps that we had. Okay? And I had a couple of second class that were very good in semaphore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unwritten law, you send as fast as you could receive.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a young girl as a signal. And he gets to talk to her, okay? And he ripped it out. You know, where are you from? How are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
And she just gives him a Roger like this. And she gives him a Juliet. And gives her a Charles. And she comes back. And whoever taught this young lady was of old school. Because she was fast. Every position was perfect.
Mm.
He would enjoy the reader. He missed it. And he said, did you get that, Chief? I said, yeah. What did she say? I said, I can't tell you. Well, come on, teach the girl. I said, no, that's a signal.
Mm.
You know the rules. You have to. But it's embarrassing. I said, you tried to embarrass her, and she got you. Dare not do it. I really tried. When all was said and done, I come out and had a little girl. She went about as red as the red on this red stripe. You know? I come out, I gave her, and I just told her, I said, it was a joy to read you. I gave her, I thought, whatever you're going to do, I once always remember, as a signalman, you were very, very good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was a joy because I worked with the British,
mm-hmm.
the Canadians, the Germans, Yep. The Brits kind of sent funny because they were trickery.
Yeah.
But yeah. But, even thing when well, it used to be funny, we come into port like overseas.
Yeah.
The laundry, we all wore our uniforms, not civilian clothes like they do today.
Yeah.
But you had laundry service. And you leave before the truck, you come back 6 months later, your stuff was still there.
Oh my gosh.
So of all the girls who wore bikinis and tight fitting pants, they go like this to you. They all knew something. Is so-and-so still there? We got his clothes. Yeah, it was that how honest they were.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So those all those things. That's just part of the career.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Or it is to see... We had people go right aside, but people who did it on purpose.
Really? Wow.
You know? My shore duty barracks was great. It was a Navy Brig. Yeah. So I saw a lot of people. We got a young Marine who shot his roommate 5 times.
Wow.
Because he didn't clean his side of the room.
Oh my gosh.
We had a guy who raped a girl in Florida.
Mm.
So she couldn't identify him, he gouged her eyes out.
Oh my gosh.
And he's in a military insane asylum.
Oh yeah.
Because he went to what he did tore his mind up.
That's crazy.
All right. I had up in Groton, Connecticut, one of the missile tech people went deeply into religion. His family didn't have nothing, really, a couple of chairs as furniture, no TV, no radio allowed. And he did $1 million worth of damage cutting wires.
On like submarines?
Yes.
What the heck? There's some crazy, oh my gosh, there's some crazy people out there.
Now this is, you know, this is back in the
80s. Oh yeah, and there wasn't like safety stuff like that.
Things will happen. We've seen a guy who went, he used his own utensils to eat with. He didn't believe. And his sister was over in Europe someplace, and he got permission to go visit. But he got into that religion where they had the little pigtail. There's a name for it.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. But he got into that. And he came back to the ship, his head was shaved, except for the little...
Yeah.
So he was made to shave that. And they have a tension hairstyle. He tripped off the line. He went and put on his religious clothes, knelt on the band tail, and that's how they took him off.
He's just there free. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
But again, I've seen, I had good COs and I had bad COs. I had a commander on the Lawrence. If they gave that man a battleship with all the shells we could carry and all the food we could carry, and you buy us as much time as we would survive, I would go with that man.
Oh, yeah.
He never insulted his officers. He never screamed at him. He never screamed at him, listed him.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew he had your butt to you.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it in a respectful way. But his naval technique was impressive.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would have been, you know, where we went, we would have survived.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
that's awesome.
Yeah. That was my career. Yeah. I was off Lebanon. We were off Lebanon when that went down.
Oh, yeah.
I got to see the Holiday Inn through my big eyes.
Mm.
What was left of it. That's when the New Jersey was brought in.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen New Jersey fire twice.
Yeah.
In Vietnam and in Lebanon.
That's awesome.
And we rearmed it. But that's where the CO of the New Jersey, called 6 feet, and said, I got this big gray ship that can hurt me. And we could. You have to remember, we carried 9.5 million gallons of marine diesel fuel, 2.5 million gallons of aviation fuel. We carried 1 million gallons of our own fuel. I can't remember how many tons we carried of ammunition.
Oh, wow.
I'll let you go from that.
That's crazy.
So it was figured out that anything within 7.5 miles is going to...
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, Mr. Russell, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you today. It was much, very much a pleasure. Thank you so much.
If you're going to go into the military...
I'm definitely looking at it.
Just remember...